Yeah, this was very interesting because every time I do a call up, after we kind of talked about the idea, what beer we want to make is I call you. My father has a saying in German. I try to translate it a little bit in English. Is you can be as stupid as you want, but you need to know how to help yourself.
I completely agree. Yeah. That's also my way of thinking.
And you know, I don't have so many practical and also scientific knowledge about yeast, but I know exactly who am I calling, and I'm calling you, and you consult me every time, absolutely perfect. Last collab was with Nygne, the Norwegian craft beer brewery in Grimstad, and we did a dark wheat bock, and we wanted to make it a little bit special. It should be a Christmas beer. It should have a little kind of a sweet, but also a fruity flavor. And we thought, well, to the Christmas time, some kind of like red berries or cherry flavor would be fine. And and you consulted us and also supplied us with a great yeast for this beer. And it went out perfectly as you have expected. So we were all very happy, the guys from Nygne and we in the brewery, because, that was not just we got the yeast from you. So you also had the yeast we used in kind of the cooler, and then you put it in wort and cultivated it, and then we had I guess a half a liter bottle of yeast. You send it to Norway, and there we could use it then, and it worked out perfectly. But you also consulted us on the technical part, like what fermentation scheme we should do, temperature wise and stuff like that. So this was all very helpful. And well, you tasted the beer. Mm-hmm. So you were happy with it, how it went out, right?
Yeah, I was absolutely happy because when you try such a beer, you never know if it really ends up in, let's say, the idea you have in mind, and if the flavors really match your let's say your opinion or your idea. And in that case it was perfect because it was a dark beer with some red fruit cherry flavors, a little bit sweetness, and for this beer we took a special yeast mixture. Mm-hmm. It was the special yeast, wheat beer yeast from the Weinstephan brewery with a Belgian yeast as a blend. And mm-hmm. we also thought very much how to blend the yeast, so this too strange that they push themselves and to create the flavor. And that turned out very well. We knew it from the lab, but it also worked out in the big scale in the brewery, and also how they grew the yeast in their lab until the pitching volume was there. So everything turned out well. And for sure, I'm always happy if it works, because sometimes you also can be very disappointed if some flavor is not there, or if the beer, let's say carbonation is not as you expected or so. But in this case, when we tasted the beer, and I also tasted it with my family, it was perfect, just perfect.
Is every yeast scalable? So, or are there differences?
Most of them are scalable, but some have some, let's say, special characteristics that they are not scalable, that they sediment too fast. You pitch them and then in one term they just go to the ground and do not ferment anymore. Then you have to put in CO2, or some they form like small yeast balls and are not in a perfect, let's say, mixture in a suspension. So you have some yeast that are very specific, very special, and some of those are not scalable. But let's say 95% are scalable, but first you have to know how they work. It's like when you compare it to craftsmen, if you have a bricklayer and you have like a dentist, you know, they have their profession, and first you have to know how they work and how fast they work. And when you know it, then you can exactly give them the right job.
I guess Weinstephan is, and I see that a lot on my trips, especially international, very well known, not just for our brewery, also for the Weinstephan yeast. Yeah, a lot of people ask when I'm, especially home brewers or other brewers, when Stefan Yeast, is this the yeast from your brewery or whatever? But we need to say that Wine Stefan Yeast means that the yeast comes from the yeast center of Technical University Munich in Weinstephan. But it has also to do something with the brewery, right?
Exactly. So the yeast professor Nazi selected this lager yeast 3470, TUM 3470. It came from a little Franconian brewery, but then it ran for years in the Weinstephan State Brewery. And 1970, it was reselected, repurified from the Weinstephan State Brewery. And this is the current yeast we sell as the worldwide mass spread lager yeast, and it is very well known all over the world. And also the wheat beer yeast of the Weinstephan State Brewery is very famous. We call it Leo Bavaricus because it's such a strong wheat beer, like a lion. Leo Bavaricus from like the Bavarian lion. It makes a very strong flavor. And this is the same story. It ran for years in the Weinstephan Brewery and in a small chair brewery here from a technological chair. And this Weinstephan wheat beer yeast also is the most famous wheat beer yeast in the world. So you guys are very lucky because you have of the superstars running in your brewery.
I guess that's the deal we have, I guess, the university and the brewery. I mean, we are owned by the Ministry of Science, by the state of Bavaria. And as same as Technical University of Munich. So actually we have the same boss, which is the secretary for science of Bavaria. And I guess that's the role we play because we have an official cooperation agreement of the university and the brewery. And for things like that, you know, like cooperating, being kind of as a testing ground, or analytic ground for things like yeast or like our dealcoholization plant is another example. That was also a science project first before it became a groundbreaking technology, which is today the most used technology to produce non-alcoholic beers, you know? And we were the second brewery worldwide that used such kind of technology to make non-alcoholic beers. And so it's absolutely logic that, like, when there is this, in the 60s, this yeast was found somewhere in a small Franconian brewery and then analyzed here at the university and said, well, this could be one of those yeast that can be, maybe have all the parameters that we are looking for, and that you test run it for a few years in an actual industry-sized brewery to get the feedback, the knowledge, and also the data to say, yes, it is or it is not. And so I guess that's the deal we have. So we are this practical science partner to find out things like that, because in laboratory scale, it can work, but also you need to find out, works it in an industry scale? And that's what we do here, is that we try to be the partner for finding out those knowledge on industry scale. And I've read once, maybe you can say me it's correct, that the 3470, so this lager beer yeast, that it's the most used yeast in the world?
Exactly. It's the most used yeast in the world for lager beer. You can order it here worldwide. And it also was the first lager brewing yeast. The whole genome was sequenced. Mm-hmm. So that you can see this is a very important yeast strain because it's like the blueprint for all lager yeast strains. And you're absolutely right. It's just a win-win situation for us both. So we have science here and new technologies, and you're like very straightforward in also trying new technologies. Yes. Just one very recent example is our newest frozen yeast technology.
Frozen yeast, yes.
So we now sell this 3470 TUM, we call it Smart Bev, all around the world. It's frozen at minus 40 degrees Celsius. And you ship it frozen and you can keep it for 18 months and then just take it out of the bag. It works at once.
You can directly pitch it.
And you can directly pitch it. You can propagate it. You can make your beer with it. And you were one of the first breweries that tested it, and it works fine. Yeah. So that's another example.
I talked to Tobias. We will keep it that way. So we use it that way.
Yeah, I think your brewmasters are happy, and it's just of advantage that you also try the newest technologies. It's very straightforward, I think, this approach.
Is there any quality drop-off when it comes to the frozen yeast?
No, because that's very special what we developed with our partners, that it's frozen at high activity. Mm-hmm. And it's very quickly frozen, so there is not, let's
kind
say,
shock freezing
or stress. And it's also developed that the yeast protects itself. So that's the secret about that yeast. And the idea is we can take it out everywhere in the world. We have this cooling chain all around the world, and you always have fresh yeast you just take out of your freezer.
Mm. And everyone can order the yeast.
Everybody can order it.
If you're a home brewer.
But it's much more expensive because you can think about now we are all talking about energy.
Of course.
Energy crisis. Freezing costs energy. Cooling chain costs energy. But I think it's technology 4.0 in terms of yeast. And but I'm so happy that you tried it, because it fits very nicely together. Yeah. The oldest brewery with the newest longest history with the newest technology.
Yeah, that's one part of our mission, to be traditional, but also to be latest when it comes to technology, science, and knowledge. Thanks to you guys. I mean, and the scientists in the opposite, right in front of the brewery, you breaking the grounds, and we tried to make it happen and make good beers with it. And
I think so far it works.
Yeah, so far it works. And
we just have to try the beer. Yep. You know,
and I want to come back to the wheat beer yeast we're using, the TUM 68, right?
68, yeah.
TUM 68, Leo Bavaricus, the Bavarian Lion. I never thought about it. I heard the name Leo Bavaricus, but I never, thought about it. So why it is named that way. And it makes so much sense now. Because, yes, the Bavarian Strong Lion. And just imagine Vitus.
yeah.
So, like, Vitus is the strong but flavorful but easy drinkable beer, and made with that
strong yeast
makes now totally sense why to call this Bavarian Lion.
Yeah, and the Vitus is a perfect example how yeast stress can end up in a perfect aroma full beer. If you have ever drunk Vitus, it's one of the fruitiest and, let's say, for me, very mouthful.
Nice palate.
Nice palate. Beers I know. Here in this process, you stress the Leo Bavaricus very much. It produces a lot of esters, a lot of nice flavor compounds. And this is a very good example how you can treat yeast to get a certain special flavor profile. So this is not just by accident. This is really on purpose.
Purpose. And actually, by the knowledge we have from you guys, like which pH is the optimum, which temperature is the optimum. Also, thanks to work from Professor Buck, we know also which geometry of the fermentation tank is the optimum to make those beers. And so also the nutrition profile, we know which nutrition profile and how it ferments and whatever. And the cool thing about the Leo Bavaricus is that it's not just very complex in flavor, it's also very good in fermenting. So it has a very high attenuation potential. And and all that intel we have from you guys, so we can perfectly adjust the brewing process, like that we are doing like the double decoction to get the most fermentable sugars into it, that we also have the amino acid profile that the yeast can grow very fast, and also doing that high attenuation. So we builded our process around that knowledge and that know-how. And so we have a really, really legendary beer, I would say.
Yeah, and everybody can taste it. Taste it in the beer. That's the nice thing about our job. So the effort you'd put into a bottle or
makes
into
it
a keg,
in the end.
You can just take, you can show it to everybody.
You know what you did afterwards. Thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
But I have one nice story about Leo Bavaricus.
Okay.
Because in 2015 and 16 we did a bigger sequencing project of some of our brewing yeasts, and one was the wheat beer yeast Leo Bavaricus TUM 68, and we recognized that it's a sake yeast. So
what?
Sake, you know, the Japanese drink. So you have those genetic clades in the yeast. You have like this genetic, let's say, clusters, and it's not in the, we call it beer one cluster. Most of our German beer yeasts are in the beer one cluster. No, this yeast is in the sake clade. And then we did some research. Why is it in the sake clade? We found no documents, but we found some, let's say, notes that exactly in that time, in the 50s and 60s, there was a strong exchange with Japanese researchers. And they think maybe there were some trials that were not published, that they also tried some sake strains for beer making. Because also another strain, the Luna Bavaria TUM 127, is in the sake clade. So there's only two wheat beers in the sake clade, and they are very closely related, and this is very strange. So we think there is maybe more in the detail, in the historic detail, and we only can think if this is an option. We don't know yet because it's not documented. But that's also one thing where genetics give you another insight. Probably there were some Japanese,
never heard about that.
Japanese Bavarian corporation at the time, and this was the result, probably or maybe. But
holy,
it's published.
Moly.
It's published in Current Biology 2016. It was also
so it has
in
basically
in Spiegel that at that time. So there was some
that those two yeasts that are iconic for producing the most Bavarian-ish wheat beers you can imagine, has their genetically origin in sake yeast.
Yeah, they cluster, and it cannot be just by accident, I think, because they cluster, it's a whole genome sequencing in this sake clade.
I always said Vitus is not just a global success, now we know it's a global citizen. That's so
Leo
cool.
Leo Bavaricus, so Bavarian or international.
At home in Bavaria, but successful in the world.
That's a recipe. That's a recipe of success.
Awesome. Wow, what an insight. And that's basically part of your scientific work here, to analyze, to trace back, but also to, and we talked a little bit about it, to do some consulting, technology-wise, but also you have here in the Yeast Center two big fridges where you are conserving, where you're storing yeasts. So yeasts you can buy, but also yeast you store and conserve for other breweries. So their house yeasts are kind of the backup here, and also yeasts for research and scientific work. So how many yeasts you have here at your laboratories?
So there's like 200 yeast strains that are publicly available, so everybody can buy it. 50 of those are well characterized. Some of them are just seldomly used. Then we have like 200 strains that are like proprietary. So that some breweries, they used it in brews and then they stored it here. So that's their own house strain. Or some are only like backup, so that you have some safety store or safety stock here. And then we have like 2,000 yeast strains from research project. Some are already used for brewing. Some are just contaminations, or some are just from ecological niches, from nature or so. So we have a very broad collection, and it's continuously growing.
So we can talk about, that might be the biggest beverage and brewing yeast collection in the world.
Probably, yeah, probably. When you take, we also have more storage yeast. They are just only frozen once, so incomplete, it's even more. But those are that are stored than once and are also used in research projects, and so and probably it's a big. There are bigger collections. Let's say like the Bureau for Schimmelkulturs in the Netherlands for fungi and yeast, but this is
not
related to brewing and beverages. For brewing and beverages, we are probably the biggest in the world.
So a little piece of information for everybody out there. If you're interested in what kind of different strains you can buy, we'll put you the website we put in the show notes. So if you want to check out the website of the research center, just hit the show notes and move over to the website.
Yeah, because I can strongly recommend working here with the Yeast Center because I did it for a few collab projects. Also, a collab project coming up this year again.
Nice to hear.
Yeah. And so they are, you know what? You get a call. Because
looking forward to it.
Yeah, because this is the way. This is how I do it.
This is the way.
I mean, we could have so much talked about yeast, but you know, time is running out. So I just simply suggest that you will come back to the show, or we will come back here to the library. And,
next time in the afternoon, so maybe we can have a beer.
Yeah,
just saying.
I also would prefer afternoon. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
maybe with the podcast, some nice vitus.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
But we learned a lot. I learned a lot. Oh, I didn't know that about the sake origin of the Leo Bavaricus, and didn't also not know a lot of other things. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Matthias, because you're seriously, I guess, not just one hell of an expert when it comes to yeast and brewing yeast. And we are all very happy and glad that you're here at the Institute in Weinstephan and that people and also students can learn from you and your expertise. But also for all the work and the passion you put in, that's simply amazing. I guess that's where the whole industry is built up on people with passion for their field. And thanks for sharing that passion with us today.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
Thank you. I only can share your words, same for you. So you also have this passion for the beer, for your product as brand ambassador. I think that's such a nice idea to also bring those ideas about science, yeast technology, brewing technology, about yeast and beer passion to the consumers and to communicate that. And this podcast is just so nice with this.
Yeah, it wasn't your first podcast, right? You already had done a few of them before, right?
Some of them, yeah. And I love it because it's a very good way to communicate.
Absolutely, in such complex
consumers like this. And maybe also break down a few topics to the ground and just make people more interested in beer.
Yeah. So thank you very much. And
thank you so much,
everyone, for listening. We leave you with that. And like I said, check out the website of the research center and maybe you'll find for homebrewing some kind of yeast that you like.
Yeah, you can order all strains that are on the webpage.
Worldwide.
Just try it.
All right. Then thank you very much. And we'll hear from you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.